Well, this morning, as you can see, entitled the message, Calculating Your Value. And we're going to talk about that. But over the last 3 weeks, Pastor Scott has been taking us through the book of Esther and going through her life. Now, as he said, Esther was, you know, she was actually of the captive tribe of Israel. And they were actually the slaves, the lower class in this nation that they're living in. Now, Esther could have easily said, you know, I have no value. What am I but a slave girl? But God saw a bigger value in her. And history would have been very, very, very different, even for us, if Esther didn't take her place. Now, Esther had value. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So I want to take a quick survey as we get started here. Okay, how many of you graduated from Waikia High School? Okay. How about KL? Too young. How about Hilo High? And if you went to school with my wife at the same time, I apologize right now, okay? Okay, how about Kamehameha Schools? Yeah. Okay, now for the best school in the world. Who graduated from Pohoa? Oh, Honoka! You know, when I tell people that I graduated from Pohoa High School, I get made fun of a lot. You know, I spent all 13 years of my education at Pohoa. And it seems that some people have the misguided opinion that Pohoa is somewhat of the lower class society. And every once in a while, I find that I lose value in people's eyes when I tell them of my alma mater. How do I know? Because they respond with the question of, you graduated from where? And that's just the way society is, isn't it? People tend to give you value according to where you are educated, where you live, where you work, even where you go to church. But that's okay. Because the truth is that there's really only one opinion that matters when it comes to your value. And I'll tell you which one later on in the message. But I'll have you know this. That it doesn't faze me anymore. It hasn't fazed me for a long time when people make fun of my educational upbringing because it helps me to identify with Jesus. You know, people look down on him. And in his day, when they heard he was from Nazareth, it's written that it says, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? That was a question that's in the Bible. Somebody actually asked that. So this gives me common ground with Jesus. And then I also rest in the fact that I was a part of teams that beat Waikia in football and baseball. I also rest in the fact that I put forth my very best effort while I was there. I got good grades, and I stayed out of trouble. And then, of course, college was a whole different story. But while at Pohoa, I did my very best in everything that I set forth to do, irregardless of geographical circumstance. Now, why did I do this? I did it because I knew that it would increase my value as a person down the road today. And of course, because my dad said I better. You see, I knew that if I would be diligent in my education, it would lead to my getting into a better college, a better job, a better social standing. And I was looking to be of value in life. And I believe that everybody here has a yearning to be of value in life as well, right? Now, what I want to do somewhat in this message of calculating your value is have us reflect on our personal values. However, as I mentioned prior, there's only really one that matters. And it's not your boss, it's not your friends, it's not even your own. What I really hope to do is to reveal how we can all increase in our values where it really matters. And to do so, we're going to be taking a look at this matter from a different perspective. Okay? We're going to go through a mathematical perspective. So if you don't like math as much as I do, too bad. Because one of the subjects I enjoyed most, and I still do, is math. You know why? Because math has definite answers. And because I got good, and that's why I got good grades in that. You know, history always seemed to be filled with too many opinions. English, which is my second language to pidgin, was always filled with too many inconsistencies. But Matt was solid. 1 plus 1 is always 2, no matter how you spell it. 2 times 2 is always 4, no matter who lived before who. I enjoy math. So this morning we're going to be taking a math class, and I'll be using mathematical equations as examples. So if you didn't graduate from Pohoa and you don't have good math skills, that's okay. Because to get us started, I'm going to be employing the services of my very own Vanna White, my personal assistant. Would you welcome the lovely Mrs. Carlin Pacheco? And the first equation is in your notes, okay? And what we're going to do is calculate your estimated value. And this is the way you see yourself. Now, before we get started, I want to make sure that everybody understands that this exercise is not to make anybody feel bad. In fact, no cheating off of your neighbor's paper, okay? Only one opinion matters. This exercise will simply give us a platform for the rest of this lesson, a good starting point. So, on that first line, and that one is labeled OV, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, I want you to fill in what you think your occupational value is. What is your occupational value? How do you interact at your job? How well do you do? If you're a mom, a housewife with kids, and that's all that you do, give yourself an 8 at least, okay? If you're good at it and your kids love you, go for 10. So let's see what Carlin's occupational value is. 7. Yeah, I can agree with that one.
What?
Okay, moving on. SV is your social value. Consider how you interact with people outside of your job. What kind of impact you make in their lives, whether positive or negative, and write that in. Let me help you.
I'm a work in progress.
Oh, no, you got to go higher than that. She's a social butterfly. Poor nine there.
I'm shy.
Okay, and then CV is your character value. Ooh. Consider this. In any situation, do you opt to do what is right or what everybody else is doing? For example, like when you were coming to church this morning, everybody else was going 60 in the 55, right? Did you keep up with them? Did you pass them? Or did you hold to the speed limit? Go ahead and fill that one in. Okay, now that you've got your 3 scores, add them up. 22. Okay, and then divide them by 3. Very good. Should be on the bottom line. Okay, and now you have an estimated value. That's how you see yourself. Okay, everybody got that one? Okay, now that you got the estimated value, keep that handy. And let's say thank you to Carlin. Keep that one handy because we're going to be using it later on, okay? 7.1, very good. Okay, now that you've calculated that, let me show you how to increase it where it really matters. There are 3 ways. And the first is to multiply your eternity by Christ. Multiply your eternity by Christ. There are 2 more mathematical symbols here that I'm going to have to familiarize you with if you don't know. They're in your notes too. One of them looks like this. Never was good at art. Okay? What is this symbol for? Infinity. That's a symbol for infinity. And then the other one looks like this, right? What's that one? That one is absolute zero. Sometimes you'll see it with a plus or a minus in front of him. It just means positive infinity, negative infinity, positive absolute zero, or negative absolute zero. But in this message, For all of eternity, infinity will represent Christ. And absolute zero will always represent the world. See, at the end of your life, you're going to take nothing of this world with you. Even if technology finds a way to extend mortal life, this world will end. And Jesus said so in Matthew 24:35. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. But he goes on to say that my words will never pass away. What's he saying? He's saying that this world is a temporary thing, but he is eternal. So what it comes down to is what you're attaching your life to, what you're choosing to multiply it by. If it be the things of this world which are temporary, then it doesn't matter what you score in value. You can be an 11. But 11 times absolute zero will always equal absolute zero. In the grand scheme of eternity, you will end up with absolutely nothing. However, if you choose to be multiplied by Christ, this is what your equation looks like. Regardless of how you score yourself, when you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, this will be your eternal value. Will always be infinity. John 3:16 sums it up. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now I realize that most of us have multiplied our eternity by Christ, and that's great. Still, this point has significant value in our lives. Why? Because as we go through life, the enemy will try to detract from our value by pointing out our shortcomings and telling us how worthless we are. In John 10:10, Jesus puts it like this. He says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life. And have it to the full. Let me show you what that looks like on paper, okay? And just to make it easy on me, say I'm a 6. And if the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, that's what it looks like. That's what the enemy does, is that he'll try to take your infinite value and retract from it. He'll tell you things like, you're not good enough to do this, or you're not good enough to do that, or look at what you did in the past. Let me tell you something. God is not worried about where you've been or what you've done. He's worried about where he's taking you and where you're going. Amen? So the devil will try to rob us of the joy of our true value by telling us that we're nothing, and we'll lose that joy unless we remember whom we are multiplied by. And that's when we get to tell the enemy. You get to tell him, sure, you're right. I may be nothing without Christ. However, he's my Lord and he's my Savior. So get behind me, Satan, because I am multiplied by Christ and this is my eternity. Now, another way to increase your value is, number two, add Jesus to every aspect of your life. Add Jesus to every aspect of your life. Now, in his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul makes quite a profound statement saying, and this is in chapter 1, verse 25, for he says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Now, let me show you what that looks like on paper. The foolishness of God is greater than man's wisdom. That means that God, at his weakest point, is greater than we will ever be. It also goes true as saying this, that God is greater than the world. So it's quite elementary to say that adding Jesus to our lives increases our value astronomically. Okay, so exactly how do we do this? Take a look at what John, one of the 12 disciples, wrote in John 1:1. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Now skip down to verse 14, where he says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now who is John speaking of here? He's speaking of Jesus. And who better to know him than somebody who spent a lot of time with him? And to sum it all up, anytime we take part in God's Word and incorporate it into our lives in any aspect, no matter how big or how small, then we are adding the value of Jesus to our value. Get that? Anytime we add Jesus to our value, it always comes out to infinity. Now I'm going to let you in on a little secret right here. Contained in his word are gems of infinite worth that are useful for every aspect of life, every situation imaginable. And that's why daily devotions, we always hit on the daily devotions, why it's so important to be getting into God's word every single day. You know why? Because you cannot add what you don't know. Let me say that again. You cannot add what you don't know. Now, I need to encourage you to get into the Word when you do, and when you do, not just read, but incorporate it into every situation that you face. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you actually do the devotions every single day? How many of you journal along with us? And I want to tell you something. When you read the Word is over 1,000 years old. Okay? If you go back to the book of Job, it's over 6,000 years old. Now, if God speaks to you something in that, say you're in the book of Job, and he speaks to you something out of Job, and you incorporate it into your life, you have incorporated something that is 6,000 years old. Wisdom from the ages, that's what it is, into your life. How cool is that? God, when I get to journal out of something and God speaks to me, he spoke to me from 4,000 years ago. Now, if that's not cool, I don't know what is. Now, this is what the equations comes out to if we don't get into the Word. Looks like this. Get it? If we don't get into the Word of God, our life will always equal to nothing. That's why it's so important to do so. That's the difference. The difference is infinity. Proverbs 3 states it this way. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Now, one of the subjects that I did not excel in at Pahoa was music. And the reason why, and that's the reason why I'm not holding a music class today, because I never chose to excel in music. And the reason why is because growing up, and many of you know him, my brother Khalil, when he was born, he sucked the womb dry of all musical talent. The guy is incredible when it comes to music. He can pick up an instrument that he has never seen in his life and in 15 minutes be able to play that, be able to perform with that instrument. That's the truth. He's that good. And then his voice is, his name is Kaleo. You guys know Kaleo means the voice, appropriately named because he has a very, very sweet voice. In fact, he used to sing a lot when Carlin was pregnant with our first child, CJ. So he had a band that he was playing in, and they would always practice next door. We could always hear him. When CJ was born, she didn't recognize my voice, but when he sang, her eyes lit up, man. That's how good he is. Now, that was my measure of musical talent growing up. And I always thought I was never good enough because of that. Now, I never enjoyed singing, which is very poor for the culture that we live in, yeah? Where singing is pretty much a requirement here. But many years ago, right across the street, up in the high school, I was going to a church there, and I was serving very well there. In fact, I served in just about every ministry, assistant pastor, setup, tech, programming, you name it, I did it, except for worship, simply because I thought I could not do it well. Now, one day, the worship leader came up to me and he said, "Aaron, I've been praying, and God said you need to be on the worship team." I started laughing. I thought he was joking. And then I realized he was serious. And I said, "Okay. God said, oh, okay, this one's on you then. Why not? I'm doing everything else. I'd be glad to come up with you guys. And if God said, then I better. Besides, I'd be singing with a group. There's about six of them, and I'd be singing with them, and I could be lip-syncing for anybody new, for all anybody new. There's no problem." So I did it. I went up 3 weeks, got up there, smiled, and lip-synced with all my heart. 3 weeks later, worship leader comes up to me again, and he says, "Aaron, been praying again, and God said, time for you to lead." Now, with all of my heart, I wanted to look him in the eye and say, "Now I know you're lying." Because God knows how poorly I sing. My singing is just for the shower. But instead, because I loved and respected this man so much, I told him, "Let me pray about that one." And he did. So I went home and I prayed about it, fully expecting God to say, "Yeah, he's lying." But you know what God said? God said, "He's not the one that I'm asking, who is asking you to lead. I'm asking you to do that." And so I went along with it. And you know what I found out? I found out that I could lead worship. It's not about the voice. It was about the heart and the willingness. And by the time that I left that church, I had enough confidence to lead 1,500 people. 1,500 people in worship on any given Sunday up at the big church on Kupola. You know, I still don't sing very well, but I've learned that everything is possible when I lean on God's strength. And everything is possible when I add Christ to the equation. That's what makes all the difference. So now you know I'm going to ask you, what is it that God is asking of you that you think is bigger than you? What is he asking of you that people say you cannot do? And you're holding back because you think you lack in value. Is it taking on giant addictions or situations? Remember that David was a boy, just a boy when he defeated Goliath. Is it leadership? Remember that Moses was a man who stuttered. Is it telling a friend about Jesus or speaking the truth in public or being a better father, mother, friend, person? Whatever it might be that you feel insufficient for is no longer insurmountable when you add Jesus to the equation. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things." How many things? All things through Christ who strengthens me. See, many things in life will appear to be too huge and our own value too insufficient for us to challenge them, except when we add Jesus to the equation. Then, nothing is too difficult for me. It isn't about our value. It's about our willingness to add him to what he's asking us to do. That's what makes all the difference. And then the third way to increase your value where it really matters is to exponentiate through team ministry. We had any English teachers here today? Good, because I know that's not a word. I made them up. Not bad for a Pohoa grad. Huh? Exponentiate through teen ministry. Let me explain this one, okay? This is an exponent. Anybody can see that? That little number up at the top? And what that means, yeah, let me use a better number here. What that means is this multiplied by itself this many times. Exponentiation is the fastest way to increase anything. In Genesis, it says that the Lord God said that it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. See, what God was doing was he was making us better at what we do exponentially by teaming us up with people. There's something in the way that God designed us that makes us social beings. We're created to do things together and to be more effective when we do. My dad, Pastor Alex Pacheco, always used to say it like this. He said that there are no lone rangers at New Hope. Here at New Hope, we got this thing called doing church as a team, DCAT. And what that means is that everybody bringing their talents and their skills and their passions to the table and working together to create something great. You know what it does? Makes us way more effective and way less chances of being burned out. Now, I can't remember where I heard this, but there's a saying that goes like this, that one man alone can accomplish what one man alone can accomplish. Imagine, if you would, that Pastor Scott had to do everything here at New Hope East Hawaii. For example, say that he would come in on a Sunday morning, open up, set up all of the sound, set up all of the tech, make the coffee, make the water, set up all the chairs, clean up the place, all by himself. And then in the middle of this, somebody comes in and needs counseling. And in the middle of this, a couple comes in and they're fighting. So they want him to do some marital counseling with them. Would he have any time at all to come up here and preach the word of God like he's supposed to do? No, he wouldn't. Now imagine if he also had to do worship. I'll leave it at that. His value as our senior pastor would not increase. It would plummet if that were true. That's why we don't choose to do church as lone rangers. We choose to do church as a team. Everybody bringing their, offering their very best in a team effort. And when we do, it increases our value and effectiveness while decreasing stress. That's what happens when you take a couple of sixes and join them together. We increase exponentially, and that is the very way that God intended us to operate, bringing an exponential increase to everything that we set forth to do. Now check this out. Here's what happens when you add Jesus to the equation to that. And he speaks of it in Matthew 18. It says, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." Where two or three come together in, I really never take off for me, my name. There I am with them. Let me put it this way. A few ordinary people working together plus one extraordinary God equals eternal impact. Now, if you already put away your notes because we went to the last scripture, bring them back out. Because you know that Aaron always has a bottom line. Just sometimes doesn't make it into your notes. Hey, several times I told you that only one opinion matters. And that opinion doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. Who does it belong to? It belongs to God. And here's what he thinks about you. Hey, God loved you so much that he didn't want to spend eternity without you. He loved you so much that he gave up everything for you. He loved you so much that He called you here this morning. Now I want to ask God, on a scale of 1 to 10, Lord, how much do You love me? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do You value me? And this is what He said. Actually, that's what He said. That's how much He values you too. And you can write that down in your notes. Your bottom line today is that I am infinitely valuable to my God. Don't ever forget that. I am infinitely valuable to my God. When life seems overwhelming, when there are things that you just don't think you can accomplish, multiply yourself to Christ. When the world tells you that you aren't good enough, when the church tells you you're not good enough, you tell the enemy, you tell the world, when I am added to Christ, I am. Don't ever forget that God values you and He loves you infinitely. Amen? Amen. Sister Scott?